Dina Diamond would have looked perfect as she ran in her high heels, I might add, into studio to partake in this conversation. Share your wisdom.
Well, first of all,
yes,
she is an actress.
Exactly. She's playing a role.
Yes, but I'm going to be on the other side. I'm going to be the pro-Megan team on this, right?
Okay, good.
All right, so she is an actress. So she's she's obviously part of being an actress is that you're adaptable and that you naturally pick up accents, actually. And as, I'm only saying this because I naturally pick up accents.
I was just going to say, I can tell you that I actually do the same. When I'm speaking to somebody, I find that my inflection often matches the person that I'm speaking to, unless they come from the East Rand. Then I don't really. Although then I just break it down into very, very sort of simple language.
Small parts. Shocker.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so I think it is actually quite a natural thing for her that when she is speaking to someone with a different accent, and she is surrounded by
her husband also, like she's with her husband all the time.
I know, but does he speak or does he just mumble under his breath? I don't really think he speaks very much.
No,
that's Charles. Yes,
I think he probably speaks. We don't hear him speak much, actually.
Because they don't really open their mouth much when they speak, do they?
I think it's because of the rain. I don't want to get water in it.
Could be.
Yeah, so I think that she does get a natural. I think I also do, like, pick up a natural inflection from people when they've got an accent.
So I actually think that people that are good communicators do that because they feed off the people, and there's this whole thing in body language as well where you mirror another person's body language and people do that consciously or subconsciously. Most people do it subconsciously.
Absolutely.
Where when you want to get onto the same page as somebody, you actually almost mirror their body language, so it feels much more natural. So I do think that there is something just, and as you said, she's surrounded. I mean, I don't think she certainly doesn't have very much contact with her own family.
No, certainly not. And I don't think she's watching a lot of soap operas and TV. So, I mean, we talk about that, it is actually very funny because if you think about how Israelis speak English, it's completely with an American accent. And why is that? Because they all watch American TV and then the teachers who are teaching them have learned English from American TV.
So my son's girlfriend is Yemenite. She's grew up in Israel. Never lived outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met her, I said, did you live in America? She speaks a flawless American accented English.
Mm-hmm.
And she got it from TV.
This girl. Yeah, I actually just remembered. This girl that
which
I went
girl?
To. Zanati had a.
Okay, sorry, Zanati. Oh, we're talking about something that you're not what I want to talk about now. This girl.
This girl that bring us in, Zanati. Bring us in.
This girl that I went to varsity with. She didn't go to, she's from Botswana.
Yeah.
And she was in Australia for like a couple of months.
Right.
And then she comes back with an American accent.
Look, I think that's much better. I support that. So she went to Australia and came back with an American accent. And she's from Botswana.
Yes.
Look, I like that. I'll get behind that. Gimple says she's just like a King David kid who comes back from UCT after the first term with a Cape Town accent.
Yes. They've acclimatized.
Yeah, absolutely right. And Unsigned says, okay, I'm not going to repeat what he says or she said Megan is, but,
don't be like that. Don't be a hater.
Brexit is so boring. Thank God we've got Jeremy Corbyn's anti-Semitism to keep me interested in British media. Yes, there you have it. So, we're talking about these accents. Steve G says a bit of British. Okay, no, we're not going to be talking about that. Steve G, I thought you were being, I didn't realize you being as crude
lucky
as you are.
Lucky you can censor and read
I
at the
really
same time.
Have to censor these SMSs. Wow.
But lucky you can multitask because you can read and censor at the
same time.
At the same time,
yes. Justin Baynard says traffic lights out at Marlborough and South Pointsmen are on duty. Good. Thank you for letting us know.
I've actually got another point, though. Mm-hmm. It's also, when I lived in the States, I had to change my accent because they didn't understand me. And it's so frustrating.
That is true. Very true.
How many times can you ask for a glass of water and be told what?
Well, exactly.
Can I have a glass of water? What?
No,
a glass of water? What? A glass of water? Sure, no problem.
So we had exactly that incident.
Seriously.
We were sitting at a table with friends in New York who are New Yorkers. And
that's fine,
my wife said, can you please bring us a jug of water? I said, what?
Exactly.
A jug of water. And our friend sitting there said,
what?
No, she said, pitcher water. So it was, if you didn't say pitcher water,
you
were never getting a jug of water.
You would be sitting there in the savannah.
Right. Well, the best part was we were at the same restaurant and we had the dessert and my wife said, this dessert is unbelievable. It actually tastes like the inside of an elephant, meaning the Côte d'Or elephant. But we were sitting with New Yorkers.
Oh my God.
Who looked at us absolutely horrified that we, as these South Africans, were eating the insides of an elephant.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's exactly. Dina, we haven't spoken about what we meant to speak about, but we're going to get there in just a moment.
Oh,
I do have to go to this morning's riddle. I want to know, well, they were very, very poor on Schindler's lists this morning. So I'm just hoping that people will be a little bit more successful.
They can redeem themselves.
With this one. I want to know, what am I? Can we talk about SA Inc. in the few minutes that we have left?
Yes, we can indeed. Mm-hmm. So there actually is an organization
it's
called
Howard's Bald Head. Excuse me?
Oh my goodness.
You cannot see that from space.
No, the reflection doesn't even.
Okay. All right, Dina Diamond, simmer down. Jeez.
Stop it.
Yes. All right, anyway, there we
Such
were.
Such behavior. Moving on swiftly South Africa. There's so much to talk about. But there is actually an organization called Brand SA. It was actually started in 2002 to create positive sentiment for South Africa and to actually be out there as a brand.
Because, how's that going so
well,
far?
Well, you know, it's up and down. We can say.
Like the power, right.
Undulates, yes. So it looks like.
Surges, yeah.
When we have to look at it, we say, well, why is a country's brand important?
Mm.
And a country's brand is so important because number one, it helps drive an economy, which helps the people of the country, which helps the citizens, which helps job creation, which helps natural, whatever, imports, exports, and tourism. And basically, it helps the quality of life of the people. And when you have a really negative annual image, you get downgraded as a country. Your debt gets, your money gets expensive. Your businesses aren't easy to do business with. We are listed currently as 82nd in terms of, I mean, I think we saw this with Sona.
Yes, with ease of doing business.
82nd in the world. I mean.
Well, I think that's also why we had that whole situation with Clover when Israel's looking to invest 4.8 billion rand. And Durco, which is our Department of International Relations, is normally very critical about Israel, came out and said, no, this deal, we support this deal. South Africa's open for business. Because if it gets scuppered by the BDS and this, then the next, you've lost the 4.8 billion, but you don't know what else you're losing because somebody else says, what am I going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars investigating a company in order to buy it? And then it doesn't go ahead anyway. I might as well go to Botswana or elsewhere.
And the thing is that you actually need 20 of those deals and you've got the investment target for 2023 by the president, which is 100 billion rand by 2023. Right. So if you want to stop that investment, you actually are limiting jobs, you're limiting all of these things, plus our Gini coefficient. I don't know if you've seen that lately, but the Gini coefficient describes the disparity between the very wealthy and the very poor.
Right.
And ours is actually at the moment at 0.95, and it just keeps getting worse. So the disparity keeps getting
terrible.
Historic base, it just keeps literally getting worse. So many, many challenges. And then when you look at currently what's going on in the country, first of all, even Cape Town in December, I mean, you saw it was actually quite quiet.
Yeah.
Empty. Why? Because the previous year we had major water issues. Mm. So where's the government in trying? So that means tourists who potentially were going to come to South Africa. And I know plenty of people from overseas who are looking at coming to South Africa. And they're like, no, we're not coming because there's a water shortage. There's power issues. There's crime. So at what point does the government really start taking responsibility? And I think Ramaphosa is trying to do that
now. I think he is.
He is.
I agree. What's interesting about it is very often in a company, and you'll know this from the marketing side, is when they put out these massive campaigns, these marketing or advertising campaigns, it's not only geared to the people external to the company, but actually is also marketing to people within the company.
Absolutely.
And I often think that, and I feel that the same about schools, by the way. If the kids at a school are happy. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've always suggested, I've made the suggestion to the school our kids are at, unfortunately fallen on deaf ears multiple times. But I said the kids themselves should be responsible for marketing, doing the marketing, the social media, managing that. Mm-hmm. Because if the kids, kids talk to other kids, and if kids are happy, and if kids believe in the product that they're involved with, then other people outside will. And you see it in companies, you see it mm-hmm. in countries. Can you imagine if we were the target of that marketing campaign and we felt excited
exactly.
and we were on social media promoting South Africa? Can you imagine the change? I don't know why we don't do more of that.
Why? Because yes. you have to be happy to be promoting. When you talk absolutely.
So you can't tweet in the dark. I get that.
Yes.
Right. As
you
a rule.
You uh-huh. might have done your nails and then mm-hmm. you definitely can't tweet in the dark. So the whole thing is exactly that. So you become a brand ambassador. So if you are part of an institution, of a country, of a company, of a school, whatever it may be, and you are happy and you think that whatever you're getting from that service, from that country, that company, that whatever it may be is exceptional and you are the happiest person and you're benefiting, then you are going to be a brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. And absolutely companies, external marketing and internal marketing is just as important as external.
I would even argue sometimes more.
Yes, because it's far more effective. And also these days, people actually listen to other people. They don't listen so much to marketing. Mm. But if people are on social media, and that's why these micro bloggers and all of that are becoming so successful, because people listen to them. And statistics have shown that those people are far more influential than actual marketing campaigns because they're more believable.
Well, again, it comes to this, that summit, the Jewish Media Summit that I went to Israel in November, mm-hmm. was exactly that, is they were trying to understand the new media, because new media is very different to
very different.
And if you can understand how these people are functioning, because those are the people that are being listened to.
Absolutely. But look at, remember 2010. Okay, let's mm-hmm. take us back to 2010,
yes.
where we had the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup in South Africa. The crime almost all of a sudden
dissipated.
Mm-hmm. The police were everywhere. There was a functional city. There was, things were working. Mm-hmm. The Gautrain mm-hmm. was coming in. The airports were being fixed. The roads were being fixed. And there was like a euphoria in the country, and everyone was so excited, and everyone was proudly South African. People were buying Bafana shirts who'd never seen a soccer game in their lives.
Yeah.
In fact, they couldn't even keep up with the demand. I know that at Absa Bank, they ordered 40,000 shirts incredible. For their employees, which was supposed to be absolutely no-brainer because they were sponsoring Bafana. And there was actually a massive shortage of shirts to get people those shirts because there was such an absolute demand in the entire country.
Amazing.
From the people who wanted to get behind Team South Africa, who people who don't watch soccer, people don't necessarily even go to a stadium ever. And the euphoria, people had the window socks, you know, those on their windows, which were amazing with the South African flag.
Yeah.
There were South African flags everywhere. And people were so pro-South African, and you were proud to be a South African. And it was because we were just so excited about that. In fact, we were able to host it. Everything was working. And now, unfortunately, as I said, the ebb and flow of our brand, where we have water shortages and we've got power crises and we've got Busasa and we've got corruption and we've got all of these things that keep creeping up. And in the Zonda Commission, all these things that keep coming up. It really, like, unfortunately, number one, doesn't help investor confidence, and it doesn't help South Africans to be excited about being in the country.
So unfortunately, we are almost out of time, but what do you think we could do, or South Africa Inc. could do, to change it?
We have to fundamentally change the country. And and it's not an overnight, there's no overnight solution to this. It's a slow, deliberate stop of corruption. It's bringing back the power.
I'll tell you that I differ slightly to your thought process. Mine is to get people behind the change. So if you can convince me and you and Zanati and Lindy in this studio to say, yeah, you know what, things are pretty dull, pretty dark at the moment.
No, you're right.
But you know what, we believe in the future of this country. We're prepared to suffer some of those power outages because we know what we're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to change.
Right. It is a view.
You
is
don't
a view.
Have to change get the result, but you've got to you've got to give us the confidence to know that you're leading, you believe in what you're preaching, that you are doing everything you can, and that it's almost wartime management, how Winston Churchill managed to get the people of England to support war rations and difficult times because they knew that the goal was that important.
Yep. And they knew the end, that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And absolutely right. If we people are positive, and I mean, we do live in an amazing country. We've got unbelievable resources. We've got amazing weather. I mean, we've got great open spaces.
I mean, yesterday morning, yeah. sitting outside, you know, at a coffee
glorious.
Shop with friends. Everyone had just gone for a run. I hadn't, but everybody had gone for a run. I was joining them after. And I thought, you know, it's just, this is gorgeous.
I often look around and think we are privileged to live in this country, and it is magnificent. But we also do need the government to come in to step up. We need corruption to be taken out. We need people to be taken out. It's unacceptable that people
don't taken out.
No, not like that.
No, we don't support that sort of thing. All right, we are running a little bit late.
Not as violent.
I could talk about this for hours. We need more time on this.
We need to step up and to bring goodness and straightness. I don't know what that word is.
Yes.
Back into this country.
Absolutely right. Time is 746, that's Dina Diamond. Ian, I see your message. It's a great one. I just don't, unfortunately, have time to get to it. Let me very quickly wrap up. I will get to it after 8 o'clock. I do want to quickly wrap up the sports question. Who's the only cricketer to have scored a double 100 at the Cricket World Cup? Taking a look at some of your answers. Gilana says Sachin Tendulkar. David Zimmerman says Chris Gayle. Faye says Brendan McCallum. Adam Gilchrist says Colin S. Give Dina more time. All right. Well, right now we've got to go to the Israel report. Oh, by the way, the answer is Chris Gayle. So well done to those who got that right.